wake-up call. Visit the website. Support the station. Stay brilliant and loving. For it is my great and unique pleasure to enjoy your excruciating and complex love. Thank you all. I'm Robert Knight. This has been Earthwatch. After this, up will be the learning tree. This is WBAI in New York. Peace, justice, and sometimes love radio.
I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. But no. Something inside so strong.
Oh, jolly swagman sat beside the billabong under the shade of the coolibah tree. And he sang as he sat and waited by the billabong, "You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me." And he sang as he sat and waited by the billabong, "You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me." Down came a jumbuck to drink beside the billabong. Up jumped the swag man and seized him with glee. And he sang as he talked to that jumbuck in his tucker bag, "You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. Sang as he talked to that jumbuck in his tucker bag, "You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me." Down came the stockman riding on his thoroughbred. Down came the troopers, 1, 2, 3. "Where's that jolly jumbuck that you got in your tucker bag? You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. A-waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda with me. Where's that jolly jumbuck that you got in your tucker bag? You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me." Up jumped the swag man, plunged into the billabong. "You'll never catch me alive," cried he, "and his ghost may be heard as you ride beside the billabong. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me."
You're listening to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York.
Creative Unity Collective, alternating Friday nights, midnight to 3, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Once upon a time when we were colored, stolen from the mother. 400 years later, Mr. Charlie's on some other. Take this as an affirmative act, to slap back the whack. Catch brothers, sisters who are falling through the cracks. Creativity and unity, the keys to maintain our humanity and our sanity, no vanity. Materialism, big willy crap, just progressive elevation. Can I get a soul clap? Keep it going on. CUC, keep it going on. Keep it going on. Creative unity, keep it going on.
You're listening to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. My name is Kamau Kalfani, and the show is Underneath the Learning Tree. What is the significance of a libation?
Well, libations are a spiritual binding in which you seek the support and cooperation and assistance of those who have been before us and those who rule the world and those who own the world. So you are asking all of them. So in pouring libation, you are linking up to all of them to grant or support whatever you are about to do. That's the basic essence of having a libation. Yeah, me. Romila, Iyemi Shango, Iyemi Siamaja, Iyemi Bu, Iyemi Bumio. Ibaolojo, we give greetings to the owners of the day. Ibaontulaye, we give greetings to the owners of the world. Ibaile, we give greetings to the land. Ibawaiojo, we give greetings to where they come from. Ibaarokutukutu, we give greetings to this morning that is going to break into joy, happiness, and prosperity for all of us. You are listening to WVI 99.5 FM New York. Wish you a very happy day.
Meje logun meje nire ogun alaja ni igbaja ogun onire ni igbagbo ogun gbana gbana oje gini mu ogun pari pari inu oridi je ogun alakomala eje yan ni mu ogun makinde o ti dogun leyin obi awon yan awon yan wọ́n yóò sàtí bọ́ra ìlébè àti sínú àkọ́ ó bá àkọ́ inú jẹ́ àti sínú àrọ̀ yàrá ó yà mọ́dé pẹ́gẹ́dẹ́ àkọ́ ẹran tí forí jẹ́bùrù jà ogun méje gùn méje o 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 ogun méje gùn méje o
Barigani, this is Ilombe Brat, inviting you to tune into Africa Latoscope, an analytical program of news, views, reviews, and previews concerned with political, social, cultural, and economic affairs impacting on the Pan-African world and its peoples. Thursdays between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio in New York. Yeah.
This is Kamau Kalfani, and welcome to Underneath the Learning Tree. My name is Kamau Kalfani, and we've got a couple of things for you this morning. First, I want to say, my friend from Haiti, good morning. I need you to do me a favor, my friend from Haiti. I need you to give me a phone call at 732-829-8157. 732-829-8157. Madame, please call that number immediately, my friend from Haiti. All right. Who we will have on the show very shortly. But let me say good morning to everyone out there. Good morning. Couple of things for you, and one of the things is we want to do a update with our friend Lisa Davis from People's Organization for Progress on the reparations issue and the issue of Deborah Porritz and Mary Baraka. Also, you know, there's a celebration that's going to be coming up. And then we're going to talk to our friend from Haiti. Okay? But I need my friend from Haiti to give me a call at 732-829-8157. Because I am scrambling for your telephone number. So please, madame, call that number. 732-829-8157 for my friend from Haiti. We're going to talk to my friend who does some work with children in the school, but we can't talk to her if she doesn't call me. Right? All right. In the meantime, I want to very quickly go to one Lisa Davis. Hold on. Okay. Good morning, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Good, 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 good. Lisa, I wanted to pull you up first and get a update. I believe there are a couple of things that you wanted to update us on. So let me step back and let you do your thing.
Okay, well, this is not so much an update as, you know, trying to make people continuously aware of the situation and the politics going on in New Jersey, because the mainstream media, you know, does not really talk about these things. And we really need to connect the dots. And as I'm sure many people are aware about the removal of the poet laureate, or the abolishment of the position, I should say, of the poet laureate of the state of New Jersey, basically centering around the controversy involving Mary Baraka and two lines in a poem that, you know, certain groups found offensive. And what we really need to understand, you know, behind the politics of all of this is that prior to abolishing the position of poet laureate, because they really wanted to remove Mary Baraka, you had the reappointment of Deborah Porritz to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of New Jersey. And when she was the Attorney General, she was absolutely insensitive toward the things that were going on with the African-American community. I would go so far as even to say she was more than insensitive. She just did so many things that were not in our benefit. She absolutely helped to enable the practice of racial profiling. And we won't just find this with Deborah Porritz. We will find this practice endemic endemic throughout the state of New Jersey and their system. We know with Peter Venero, all that came out about Peter Venero, he remained on the Supreme Court. We have Deborah Poritz. I came to know Deborah Poritz because when I was had a case in New Jersey, when she was the Attorney General involving police harassment and brutality, and when I saw the arguments that her office put forward condoning that behavior, including she said, you know, it's not unconstitutional if anybody works for the state to call someone a nigger in documentation. All of this was put forward before the Senate. I testified at the Senate Judiciary hearings, and it was the Senate that determined whether or not Poritz would be reappointed. And all of that was just, you know, discarded. They did not care. She was reappointed anyway. And then 3 weeks later, they remove Amiri Baraka, you know, alleging him, you know, making his face the face of a racial profiling, I mean, of a racism, what they will and will not tolerate. And basically, he just had two lines in a poem. And when we examine, we need to also really pay attention. We don't need to just vote. We need to pay attention to how those people that we put in office to represent us are voting. Because if you look at what happened in the state of New Jersey, you only see two politicians who opposed the abolishment of the poet laureate. Only two of them, Donald Tucker and William Payne, in the assembly. However, you will find that none of the elected officials, especially the people that are supposed to be representing the African-American community, you know, other than those two, none of them oppose the position the removal of Amiri Baraka. And even more so than that, you will find that when I looked at the voting line in terms of the vote with Deborah Poritz, and I saw that vote where you had only one person, Nia Gill, the only Democrat to oppose Poritz in the Senate, and you have at least six black senators at the Senate who voted for her. I mean, there was Sharp James, Joseph Charles, Wayne Bryant, Kathleen Turner, Ronald Rice, and I'm saying to myself, you know, how could this happen? And what we must realize is that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is a very powerful position. What goes on in the court, the judges, these are very powerful.
Ms. Davis, I want to interrupt you for one brief second.
Certainly.
There is someone I've been trying to get on the line, and I want to see if I have her.
No problem.
Hold on one second. Good morning, RBAI. Oh. Good morning, RBAI.
Good morning. I want to get on, but I'm the person waiting for you. I hope you don't put me off.
Right. I'm going to.
Well, no. I've been dialing so long.
Right. I'm sorry about that, but I actually have a guest who is playing a very important.
Can I make a quick point?
But let me explain why I'm.
It's a quick point because of what it's been talking about.
Okay. Just give me one second. See, there was a number that I came into the studio without. A woman who was built a school in Haiti, and she every year goes down and develops the school. She's taken it from the ground up. And I actually came into the studio without her phone number. So I'm asking her to call me at 732-829-8157 so that I can actually plug her in. And I thought that you were her. So
can I make my point real quick?
Very quickly.
Okay. Walter Isaacson wrote this book on Benjamin Franklin, who was very tolerant of all religions. He even raised money for everyone and marched in the streets with even a temple that was for fundraising. Now, there's a website called Islamic.com in which they quote many Islamic prophets and also some Americans, which they have a quote, which supposedly is by Benjamin Franklin, bewaring of the Jews, which is completely erroneous because Benjamin Franklin never made such a comment, but yet that's on the Islamic site. Now, that's on the Islamic site. Does that give you a right for you to quote it and to justify it?
Let me ask you a question. let me ask you a question. What is the relationship of what you're saying to what is being spoken of?
About Amiri Baraka.
All right.
A quote from the a New Jersey paper that the Jews were told to stay away from the World Trade Center, which was completely erroneous, which was made up by this Islamic site that did the same thing about Benjamin Franklin.
Right. So you're saying that Amiri Baraka did not say, tell the Jews to stay away. The paper said
his justification was that it was in a newspaper. That's his justification when he
said, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because I was at an event where Amiri Baraka himself spoke, and he pointed out something very interesting. What he said was that he had used the word Israelis, right?
Yeah.
And that it showed up in the paper as Jews. And he said,
makes no difference.
Well,
Israel is mostly a Jewish thing.
No.
The fact that it was Israeli.
Let me stop you.
But they didn't
listen,
do that.
I don't want to get into a yelling match with you, but let me stop you and point out what I'm saying. What is the difference? Let me ask you a question. What is the difference between an Israeli and a Jew?
An Israeli and a Jew? A Jew doesn't have to be from Israel.
Right.
But most Israelis are Jews.
All right. You pointed out something very significant there, that a person who is Jewish does not have to be from Israel, right?
Correct.
All right. But an Israeli...
Most Israelis are Jews.
But an Israeli, that is a nationality designation, is it not?
It's true, but if you make an erroneous thing about Israelis, even
that's
whether they're Jewish or not,
that's incorrect. That is the point that Mr. Baraka made, that he pointed out, he used the term Israelis, and when it showed up in the newspaper, it said Jews. And if people, in fact, we had a conversation.
It's still associated with Jews. It's the same thing.
No, but no.
Brother Kamau, may I just interject something here?
Well, I don't want to really take this dialogue any further, but the point that I'm making is that there was a differentiation made and everybody kind of glossed over it, which was the same point Mr. Baraka was making. And while there is some usage of the terminology, which, believe me, we have gone over on this show.
The point is, does Amiri Baraka believe the Israelis really were told to stay away from the World Trade Center?
Well,
that's
the
thing.
You know
does he really believe that?
I think that what I will do is invite Mr. Baraka on to answer that question himself.
Yeah,
is that fair enough?
Oh, that's fair. One quick other thing, too. The term anti-Semitic.
I got to move on because I think I might actually have this person. Hold. Thank you. Good morning, you're on BAI.
Oops.
Good morning, you're on BAI.
Hello?
Okay, that's not the person. I'm not going to take this call. I got to make room for this person.
Oh.
All right. I will come back and open up the lines, though, okay?
All right.
You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. In New York. My name is Kamau Kalfani. The show is Underneath the Learning Tree. And we will be right back. Na, 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 na. Okay, Lisa?
Yes?
Okay, let me just allow you to wrap that up quickly, because I got a couple of other things I got to get into, and I got a little sidetracked there, but the gentleman was in, he made his comment, and I'd like to just kind of whiz down the road, because I am intending to invite Amiri Baraka on to speak for himself, rather than a bunch of us saying what he meant.
Exactly, but the whole thing, and why I use this as an example, because I think it brings into a very, very point that needs to be really hammered in here in terms of the action that the state took when it came to, you know, Amiri Baraka. And I've always said people have the right to, you know, say they disagree with something that's written or whatever. But this is the action that the state took. And it is probably the strongest action that the state has taken against anyone that was accused of racism or what have you, in at least 20 years, probably more so. If people will probably remember the case of Hogan and Kenna, two state troopers who admitted to wrongfully shooting 11 bullets into the van of four young men on the New Jersey Turnpike. They were charged, they were fined $280 in addition to, I believe, being fired. I know that from the last I heard, the state has refused to pay Mr. Baraka the stipend of $10,000. He was fined more harshly and treated more harshly than anybody else. If we examine, you know, the history of this state, they can put a Supreme Court justice, reappoint someone who, when the issue came up in 1995, I believe, with the Soto case, a key case where a judge ruled that racial profiling was a problem in New Jersey. Parts was the Attorney General, and she appealed the decision. At least she attempted. And I realize that I don't have a lot of time here, but there are a lot of dots here that need to be connected. And we certainly, just because the mainstream media is not talking about this, we cannot let this issue die down at all, especially when we see how the state can move when they want to with their unfair treatment toward Baraka. And yet look at what they've done in terms of racism and racial profiling, and compare that to what they did with Baraka, and that they see no problem with a person like Deborah Porritz being Chief Justice. That's an issue, and the backing that she had from people that we would not think would do that.
All right. Let me thank you for coming. Oh, wait a minute. There was something. Let's see. That was Baraka, Porritz, and do we have any update on the reparations issue?
Reparations. Other than we have not gotten them yet, we are fighting. We are fighting definitely. There's going to be in front of the UN September 13th and 14th. People should watch for these dates. I know there are plans for a UN demonstration, although I have to find out more information about that. And I believe there's going to be a conference in New York as well. But I promise you, I will get back to you with more information. But we have to keep fighting. We've got to keep learning on our language. Be out there, be strong, and don't ever give up.
By the way, do you have a contact number that you could, in fact, have people, if they are interested in the things that you're saying, contact you on?
Well, they can call me if they would like to. They can call me directly at 212-330-8992.
Okay, can you give that number one more time?
Sure, 212-330-8992.
All right. Once again, thank you, Lisa Davis.
And I must thank you, Brother Kamau. I really must thank you for being a voice of the people.
Speaking of voice of the people, there was a forum that took place, I think it was last week, and I enjoyed myself sitting on the panel. In fact, with you, Miss Davis.
I enjoyed myself sitting with you.
We've got a few things coming up, and we're going to keep the people informed, including Marcus Garvey celebration that will take place in Jersey City this year at the Jersey City Public Library. Lisa Davis, thank you very much. And for the folks out there in Radio Land, we will be right back.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
All right.
IT, basic needs not the same. Undeveloped society, basic needs not the same. In developed society, oh, basic needs not the same.
By the way, you are listening to a group called Africa's Finest. Wait a minute, let me make sure I got this right. But the CD is called Africa's Finest. And hip-hop, R&B, Afrobeat from New York City. I wonder if we have any relationship on the line here. Good morning, you're on WBAI.
Yes, hi.
How are you this morning?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Kamahu.
How are you this morning?
Very good, and I'm very thankful for the CD.
Oh, good.
Or the tapes.
Good, good, good.
Now,
good.
The sister was most informative.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is, like she said, on the local news, you don't hear about all this.
Right.
How can I obtain a newspaper? I don't have a computer, but I would like to be more informative to all this beautiful information that you have every Wednesday.
Well, you know, one of the things is there are a bunch of people that I'm bringing on that are sharing information and have newsletters.
Uh-huh.
Like the People's Organization for Progress. I'm going to give you a phone number.
Okay.
That you can call.
That would be great.
To order their newsletter.
Okay.
It's area code
973-801-0001.
Correct. That's People's Organization for Progress. In fact, I've been requested to speak at the Montclair branch of the People's Organization for Progress, which is in Montclair, New Jersey. And I will be doing several speaking engagements throughout Jersey in the coming months, including we will be having a Marcus Garvey weekend, which Marcus Garvey was born on August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So in Jersey City, I have been requested to come to Jersey City for a Marcus Garvey weekend. So we will have a two-day-long event in Jersey City on the 16th. And the 17th, and I really need people to spread this word and be prepared to come out. Let me also say, excuse me for interrupting.
No, it's okay.
Let me also say, as a final follow-up, the New Jersey group that had the track team that needed some assistance, in fact, a group of parents got together and within the span of 1 week, managed to pull out over $3,000 to get those kids that actually qualified down to Florida. Mm-hmm. And they, in fact, are in Florida right now.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And the municipality, begrudgingly, at the last moment, was forced, because of the action of these courageous parents, was forced to basically fork over $1,000 that they initially said they did not have. But with the help of the folks from WBAI, these folks had already raised over $2,000, and the municipality did finally come through with the help of the mayor who acted, Glenn Cunningham, who got involved, and Mr. McGee, who is the business administrator. They put some heat up in the face, you know what I'm saying? So we're glad to report, and let me give those folks who now sit at the head at the name of the group is the New Jersey Homegrown Track Club, right?
Oh, okay.
So let me give them some applause.
I'm writing that down. Bravo.
All right. And they actually got it done.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, I'm going to, if I don't forget, I'm going to give the, they actually have a website up now.
Okay.
And I'm going to give that address. What I need to do right now is I'm going to go back to that CD. And in fact, the artist that you heard, believe it or not, is the son of every night, every week we play the libation.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman is the Akpina who does the libation.
Oh.
And the Akpina, that means the protector of the path or the leader of
Beautiful.
The path.
Beautiful.
He is to the Yoruba what the Pope is to the Catholics.
All right.
And that was his son playing that music in honor of Fela, the great Nigerian musician who the government basically starved to death.
Oh.
Right. And he was one of the greats. They're, actually, they're going to have an event August 3rd. At the Walker Stage. 50,
is that New Jersey, too?
No, this is 56 Walker Street in New York.
Okay.
Right, in New York City. You can take the AC or the E train to Canal and exit on Walker. You can take the J M N Q R W Z or the 6 and exit on Canal Street.
Okay.
And you are listening to music by Africa's finest, and you will hear them, the Wonderland Orchestra, special guests. The doors open at 5 p.m. Showtime is at 7, and the admission is. Oh, I can't say that.
Okay.
But let's just say it's pretty close to a theater ticket.
Okay, but the number you gave me, 1-973-801-0001, I can find out.
About the newsletter
yeah.
For People's Organization for Progress.
Okay. And I can subscribe and they can mail that to me?
That is correct.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right.
Great.
All right.
Thank
you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to come right back with my friend from Haiti, and we're going to talk about what she's doing with the children. You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI in New York. This is Kamau Kalfani. The show is Underneath the Learning Tree.
Don't security, democracy, justice, please, basic needs. Daddy say basic needs. Daddy say basic needs. Daddy say basic needs. Daddy say in developed society.
All right. This is Kamau Kalfani's show is Underneath the Learning Tree, and we are going to go to the phones to talk with Estelle Durisan. And we're going to see if we can't pull her up right now. Good morning, Estelle.
Estelle Durisan.
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm there. I'm here.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning? Thank you for staying up to join us.
You know, I had called and they told me you were in your way, so.
Oh, no, I was.
Because you told me you were going to call me at 2 o'clock when I see you didn't call. So.
Right, right. And I actually had misplaced the number. But small okay. miracles do happen and we found you.
Yes.
Estelle,
yes.
I want you to tell the people that are listening
yes.
About who you are and the organization that you founded, where you are from, and what the organization does.
Okay. I'm Estelle Dubuisson. I'm a medical technologist, a mother of three. And I'm from Las Caobas. It's a small town, about 40 miles from Port-au-Prince, but it takes about 3 hours to get there due to the condition of the road. I started helping the people in that. I started by helping a priest to build up a church. I started buying things for school supply for a new school that the priest opened. Then in 1976, I went back to Las Caobas to rebuild my mother's house for me. So what I saw, I just could not take it because I used to help bring clothes and living for the people. So when I come in back here and I was talking to Dr. English to tell her the situation is, I have to find a way to help the people. So he helped me form the organization by name Friends of the Children of Las Caobas Haiti Incorporated. Let me spell Las Caobas for you. It's LasCaobas. The organization was formed in 1976 to alleviate the hunger, the suffering, and the poor health condition of the children. So our first donation, after the first donation the organization gave to the community of Las Caobas, it was an ambulance in 1981. Then in February 1982, we brought the first group of eye doctor there. And after the doctor left, I started going outside. So to tell you the truth, it was the nun from the school who told me that she would be teaching the children in the morning. In the afternoon, they all fall asleep. So she went to the Catholic charity. They give her some cornmeal and beans, so she cooked for they give food for the children. When I come back, I start asking everybody money to send for the lunch for the nun to feed the children. When I got back, she told me she was feeding 500 children. So at that time, I said, my God, what happened to the children who could not afford to go to school? So after the doctor left, I took them back to Port-au-Prince. I went back to Las Caobas. On Monday, I waited until the school doors were closed, and I started going around with me. And now we had about 90 children. So then we opened a child care nutrition center for 96 children aged from 1 to 12. And we feed the children, we give them health care, we give clothing. But after we opened the child care nutrition center, I wrote a letter to find out what the children were doing. They told me they were all getting sick. I said, but if we are feeding them, how come they're getting sick? They told me because their stomach were not used to food. At that time, I was working at the VA hospital. Because I worked in VA hospital for 22 years, I spoke to the chief of microbiology to ask him how he thinks I can get some medication for the children, because I know they have lots of parasites and they have malaria. So he told me they would not give. I said to him, if I were the health department, would they give me some medicine? He said they would not give me the medicine, which I would, you know, knowing what the children have. So the chief got the permission for me from the chief of staff of the Bon VA. I went to Las Caobas. I bought the stool specimen from the children and some slides for malaria. We find out 90% of the children had malaria and parasite. So what we do, we did the test for them, then we bought medicine. We were able to treat the children. And in 1983, we started sending them to school. All the six-year-olds, we send them to different school. And the one who are over 6 years go to the evening school. But those children that we put to school, they didn't have birth certificate. We even have to pay for the birth certificate.
Estelle, when you say you sent them to school, where did you send them to school?
Okay, they have three schools. They have the school right there in the town. One was by the nun. One is run by the nun, and one school is the government school. Then they have a Seventh Day Adventist school. So we send them to, you know, wherever we get the space for the three school. But then after, we didn't send any more at the Seventh Day Adventist, because although they didn't take money for the admission, we feel it was too much. So they were all, we sent them to different school. But we had to pay for the uniform, school supplies, and everything for the kids.
Now, I'm assuming, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that once you picked up this activity where you were helping these children, that year after year you continued this, am I correct?
Yes, I'm still working with them.
In fact, you have a website where people can actually go and see some of the things that you are doing, correct?
Yes.
Would you do me a favor and tell the people what that website is, how they can actually go and look at some of these things on their own?
Okay, the website is www.fclh. F as in Frank, C as in Charles, L as in Lois, H as in Henry.org. www.fclh.org.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, do you have any activities that are coming up?
We just have a dance, but it was not well attended. We really lost the money instead of getting anything. It was in July 19.
Mm-hmm.
And our biggest problem, it's a hospital. You know, in 1988, we had a program, a skill training program. We established a skill training program for the youth. But in 1994, I went back to Las Caobas because my mother was sick. Not 94, 92. I was in Las Caobas for 4 months. People were dying just like mango coming from the tree, you know, with a typhoid malaria. Children were dying with their school uniform on. So I said the only thing who could help me die in peace is if we build a hospital for the people, for the community of Las Caobas. So we started the construction in 1995, and it was completed in 1998, because we didn't have money to pay for the doctor, we didn't open until 2000. So this is the hospital we have now. We have problem finding doctors, you know, and we need fun. And, like, we're always looking for volunteer doctors, which we cannot get yet.
So in 2000, you actually assisted in opening a hospital.
Yes.
For these children.
Yes.
Estelle, this is a lot of work.
Lots of work.
So how often do you go back to Haiti to participate?
I usually make 3 to 4 trips a year. Three to four trips a year.
And before I go any further, let me ask you a very important question, and that is, how do you if the people, because you know WBAI's listeners are very, very active.
Yes.
If the people want to make contact with you,
yes,
how do they go about making contact with you?
Okay.
To lend whatever assistance they can.
Okay. Well, they can call me at 212-666-4664. 212-666-4664. Or they can send an email at P.O. Box 2047, New York, 10025.
Can you give that address once more, a little slower?
Okay. P.O. Box 2047, New York, 10025.
Now, you know, a lot of times we hear people talking about what needs to be done and what they want to see done and save the children. But, you know, sometimes people are very selective, you know.
Yeah.
They want to save children from a certain place.
Yes.
And then other children, well, they don't need saving that much, you know.
And the biggest problem we have in Haiti is because of the language, too.
Uh-huh. And what is that? Tell me about that problem.